life might hand you budgets, schedules, family, and responsibility, but driving shouldn't be just another chore.
We're here to help you find a car you love. Something that fits your budget and your needs, but is fun to drive and makes you look back. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul, and this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate.
Welcome back to the podcast. Thanks for joining us, as always. I had a ridiculous conversation today with a dad.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah, I was picking my son up from an after-school activity, and of course, the parking lot is all, because it's Park City, it's all SUVs, many of which are Range Rovers.
I was going to say, Range Rovers and Cayennes, right?
Yes, it's Range Rovers, Cayennes, yeah. The occasional F-150, and then, of course, this guy was in a Subaru Outback. And we got to talking about
it. And then there's you.
Exactly.
In whatever car.
I was in the Mini today.
Okay.
Because, of course, wouldn't you know it, Park City springtime, I put the summer tires on the Mini about a week ago. Yeah. And the next day we got a snowstorm.
Right.
Luckily, the ground was warm enough. It didn't matter. But it was just one of those things where, of course you
would. It's almost like we live in the mountains.
It is crazy. But I got a conversation with him about what do I do for a living.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly you could see the light dawn as to that's why you drive those ridiculous cars. Because he's seen me pick my son up
Event
in either a Mini or a solar yellow Lotus.
Sure.
And everybody else is there like him in the Outback or the big SUV. And it was suddenly like he was like, oh, I get it now.
Oh, funny.
Of course. So I am officially that guy with the crazy car for the family.
Somebody's got to be, right?
Ryan, I think we all should be. If you're listening to this podcast, get a car that people go, you drive that for family and it still works. That's the whole car debate we have for Matt.
Love
here.
It. Yeah, yeah.
He wants a sporty family hauler, so we've got Matt's great car debate coming up. Also one from Jorge is coming up as well. So that'll be probably after the break. Plus, as always, we have questions coming at it. Happy Friday for those of you that are listening.
Yeah, no kidding.
Agreed. Good weekend coming up. I was also noting, look, this is a ridiculous thing. I'm noting how late it's light now.
And
isn't I keep thinking about biking.
Yeah,
right at dusk. That's the best. It's the absolute best. I know it's weird that I'm now talking about, I'm opining, if you will, for mountain biking and how much I like it in the midst of a car podcast. But it is that other thing we do since skiing is over. But let's see if we can find Matt a better family car.
Yeah, we're jumping right in. Matt writes to us with information about he and his wife. They're starting to think about the parenting thing, which means they're starting to think about a larger vehicle. And lo and behold, they currently drive hatchbacks.
Yes.
Of the same make and almost the same year.
I've noticed this.
2013 and 2012 Mazda 3 hatchbacks.
Yes.
They love this blend of practicality, agile driving fun. They love it. So interesting. We always question the brand driveway,
yeah.
You know, all brand driveway. But here is the all brand and model driveway.
Yes. This is
all in the same one.
It's so one of those things where you just.
This is interesting.
Which set of keys did you pick up in the morning and the car changed color? I mean, that's really all we're talking about. Maybe, I hope they're different colors.
Theoretically, we'll go on the different color thing. And they want that personality out of the thinking that they've got to get into something larger for a possible family. They don't have any kids yet. I don't know that they're pregnant yet, but they're starting to think about that. And they're thinking about the car before they're thinking about, you know, everything else that goes along with that.
I am going to remind you, if you aren't pregnant yet, you have, let's say, 10 months. Or maybe a year.
They do have a while.
Until you actually have to have said car.
Yes.
That's not necessarily this moment, but I appreciate that you're thinking about it. And of course, look, you've heard us. Of course, we talk about the Mazda 3. We like the Mazda 3. I understand what you're saying. It is one of those cars that does everything that makes sense for normal life and yet is surprisingly fun.
Well, one of them's going to have to go, it sounds like.
Agreed. One of them is going to go. That's where they're headed, and they're going to get something bigger. And I do think it's interesting that something bigger for sure, and these kind of leaning SUVs as well. Did you notice that?
I noticed. So they're looking at the very top, the Macan S, which I applaud your decision on starting your thinking there. That's always a good place to start.
Paul's pleased that you started with Porsche. No one is surprised, by the way.
Well, we
but
have
that
to back
happened.
Away first, and we have to look at the budget, because what he's telling us is the low to mid 40s is what their ideal spend is, but they're limiting me to 50 grand.
Yep.
Of course, I pushed on that. Just a tiny bit.
Of course you did, yes.
But hey, that means, you know, they're possibly going used, probably going used, I would say.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Certified Paul-owned for some of their picks. But they did suggest some newer cars in here, the Jag F-Pace and E-Pace. E-Pace is brand new. I don't know if there's too many used E-Paces out there quite yet.
Well, then you're going to have trouble finding one to begin with at this point.
Well,
by the time you're shopping in a year or so, sure. But right now, you're not going to find it.
Exactly. They've got the Lexus NX on their list, the Volvo V60, and the XC60 on the list.
Yeah.
That new XC60 is quite nice. And then keeping it all in the Mazda family, the CX-5.
Which we do like as well. And the CX-5, here's the thing. I want to go ahead and shoot the CX-5 off the list for this reason. We like it. but mm-hmm. it is the same chassis as the 3. Well, and if your discussion is we want to go bigger, I don't think that really does it.
It's taller. Let's put it that
way.
It's
taller, but we're talking...
The CH point is taller.
Yeah, fine. But we're talking about ultimately you're going to have essentially the same legroom to work with and maybe a tiny bit more hatch space because the vehicle got taller. But if we're looking at the 3 Series, the Mazda 3, and saying this isn't enough space, does the same chassis made into a CUV give you more space? I don't know that it does.
I was at the dentist today and talking to the woman cleaning my teeth and dental hygienist, and she actually just bought a brand new CX-5.
Ooh, I mean, black. They're great.
It's the Grand Touring. She loves it. She traded in an 03 Pathfinder, I think, Nissan Pathfinder.
Oh, wow, that's a shift.
Yeah, no kidding. And she loved it, and so she knows what we do. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, steered the conversation that way. And
it's
telling
an
her about
turn.
Future plans and all this stuff. And she said, well, I'm not sure if you'd like my choice. And I said, are you kidding me? That's one of the cars Todd and I recommend
Good for
so
her.
Much
Good for
on
her.
The podcast.
Yeah.
She loves it. She's thrilled. She's getting a tow hitch on it. She carries her kayak on it. All this stuff. And so I just said, well done, well bought.
For sure,
and she was thrilled to get that validation, was fun.
They're very cool. I genuinely wonder, are they big enough here?
I'm kind of wondering that same thing, but I think you're wondering about, just size is very much a reality in this price point, but also not wanting to go too big. I guess I'm reading between the lines here, Matt, that you're thinking, something bigger, but still fun. It's
for
still,
sure.
Not the giant hulking SUV. It's
absolutely
still
not.
Be interesting
absolutely
and fun.
Not. I mean, they want those dynamics that they've gotten from the Mazda 3. But I let that larger be my guide, and it takes some things off the list and adds some others. And I personally feel like as much as we like the CX-5, it's not the answer here. Plus, it would be Mazda again.
Right. It'd be the all-Mark driveway. It'd better than 2 Mazda 3s, to be honest. At least we switched something up.
And I'm praying they're 2 different colors. I'm praying that right
if
now.
If they're not, how do you know? You've got the key fob, and I guess you just push the unlock button, and then you'll know which car is which.
Oh, standing at the wrong one. Okay, I'll
general,
go over there.
In general, you just, how do you know? Move the car. Oh, yeah, I grabbed the wrong keys, and oh, it's the wrong car, and
wait, I'll go you one better.
That'd be a problem.
Now that we have cars that you can walk up to with the key in your pocket and the doors open, and then you can turn them on with the key still in your pocket, wouldn't it be possible if you had 2 of the same car to get in the wrong one and get down your own driveway, and then it dies?
It could very well do that. Yeah, possibly. But you'd have to have 2 of the same color
or
and car
actually,
to do that.
Actually, that's wrong. What would happen is
skill right there.
You'd sit down in the wrong one, and the one next to you would start. That's what would happen.
Well, you know, because you're pushing the physical button. That wouldn't happen.
I don't know.
You're pushing the actual start
I'm just
button.
Thinking of all of the like Monty Python-style comedy
the
routines
way things
we
can go
create.
Wrong for
yes,
it.
Exactly.
Right. All right, so the used Cayenne and Macan is at the top of my list here, Matt.
Okay.
I really like your Macan thinking. And I know they're $50,000. Mm-hmm. I know that. Macan S.
Start breathing on them, yeah.
$50,000. Mm-hmm. All right. Used, we get that. So I like the idea, but that led me to also liking your V60 idea, like that Volvo idea.
That's a surprisingly roomy car.
Yeah.
That has better backseat room than you even think.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then I went in a direction that I liked at first, but then I tossed out. And that was... At that price point, you can actually take a look at the Range Rover Velar.
Okay.
But I thought, okay, what is non-SUV like? Porsche Panameras are fun, engaging, lots of space, hatchy. But for both of those cars, the interior is going to be covered in dried whatever and Cheerios and
it's
milk
true of all of these, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I thought, all right, maybe those are a little too nice on the high end sorts of things. So I backed away from those.
You have to get the seat back covers. I don't think they're out, but you have to get the seat back covers.
Yeah, you do.
Don't do what I did, which is get you got to have seat back covers for the kicking, and yeah, it's going to be bad for sure.
So I went in a different direction here, and it's away from the SUV itself.
Okay, all right, good.
It's a little bit more car like, but to be honest, it's towards the wagon category because. Wagons are awesome. Mm-hmm. Everybody in Europe loves wagons and drives wagons, and why not a wagon?
Okay.
But there's a few that I found that I think are going to pique your interest here. 2017 Audi A4 Allroad, 2.0 turbo with 5,000 miles, only $43,000.
That's good.
Good
it's
starting good. Place for wagons.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I found a 2018 Volvo V90 T5 Cross Country, 13,000 miles for $51,000.
Wow, that's tempting.
This is a compelling car. It's the large one. It's like the S90, only in the wagon form, and it's lifted. Mm-hmm. And it's got those arches like the Audi Allroad does.
Yeah. The
protected arches, little bit. I mean, we're talking in minor degrees. Like, it'll brush off some pebbles and a little splash of water here and there.
Yeah,
not serious Moab off-roading, but you know what I mean.
Wait, I just had this great image of a Volvo wagon doing the Moab. That would be amazing.
If you lift it high enough, it could be fine. Awesome. So I like both of these cars, but I'm leaning towards this V90, and that T5 Cross Country has a four-cylinder engine, about 250 horsepower. It's turbocharged. But there's also one on here, a 2017 V90 with the T6. And the T6, of course, being one number better than the T5, it gives you a turbocharger and a supercharger on the same engine.
Because Volvo only makes one engine block across their entire lineup.
Yes, they put this engine in everything. So that bumps your horsepower to 316 in that car.
Yeah, yeah.
15,000 miles on that car for $51,900. So about the same price range.
Those are good finds.
You could talk them down to 50,500 maybe.
Okay, those are good finds.
Or if you offer them like 49.5, they'll bring you right up to 50, right at the top end of your budget. Interesting cars. The brochure is compelling online. I really like reading the brochure all about the panoramic sunroof.
The interiors are compelling too. Yeah.
They really are. But again, if you decide that all that is just too nice, I found you a 1992 Land Rover Defender 110, 109,000 miles for $50,000. If you need to hose out the interior after the road trip with your kids.
A Defender 110 for $50,000?
Yeah, Defender 110. It's the four-door.
Somebody needs to buy that right now anyway, because I can't believe it's that cheap.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that just hang on to value no matter what.
So just think how uncomfortable you'll be, how tall, and you'll be looking down on every other driver, but at least you can hose your car out.
And 6 months from now, you can sell it for at least what you got it for.
Absolutely.
That's the thing about those Defenders.
But everybody will think, how cool are you, despite you having to find new friends and who will maintain it and who will fix it and who will work on it and all this stuff.
That your future kids are those kids that fall asleep because they get a bumpy ride in the car. I mean, a bumpy ride in the car. Yeah.
you might fall asleep because of the bumpy ride.
Just saying.
I didn't know Defender 110s are now that price.
I didn't know any of them were that.
Kind of cool.
Because I feel like they're always overpriced. That's interesting.
Of course, white, but it looked great, and I just thought,
That's a fine, actually.
That's an alt, but I don't think it'll work here.
I don't know that it's right, but the fact that you found one at all is impressive, yeah.
I'm just looking at that price category, and I came across this and thought, wow, very interesting. So keep that in mind, but I am all about that V90 because it is so much larger. And it's very Euro to me.
It is.
In a great way.
It is. That's a fantastic. Volvo's killing it with their lineup, and I have a couple things I want to talk about in that regard as well. I wonder if now we've gone too big, but if we're chasing space, it's very compelling argument. I do agree with
Do they look good? Yeah. Plenty of space in the back.
They're very cool.
And the cross country, they're lifted. Again, that's why I thought.
Sure.
You know what? That could take the place of the SUV.
Yeah. Well, I don't think an SUV is paramount here, but I definitely think, certainly reading this email, it's clear that Matt is saying that it has to be larger. So I'm going to start in, Matt, and say the Macan is out. The Macan is really not any more space than the Mazda 3s you have.
I'd liken it to more of a CX-5 in terms of interior space.
Agreed.
We like it, but it's
not big enough.
Yeah.
And I will also give you this. The Macans, they can't make them fast enough. They're more popular than the Cayennes now. They can't make them fast enough, and that is keeping the used prices higher. So I'm going to say get a Cayenne.
Yeah, Cayenne's on the list for sure.
And you mentioned it already, but it is genuinely larger than what you have, and you will have more options for less money.
I told you our friend here locally in town, Jeffrey, whom we know, and he actually just traded his GTS Macan for a Turbo S, or just a Turbo Macan, I guess.
Yeah, because he wasn't fast enough yet.
But he went in for an oil change, and the dealer worked on him and said, "We don't sell cars in April. How would you like a great deal on the new Turbo?" And he caved.
But that's the thing, is that Jeff is one of these guys. We've talked about him before. He's one of these guys that honestly... There's about a 50-50 shot that when he takes his current Porsche in for service, he will leave with a different car.
The service manager knows him. He's like soft target.
It's like
supreme.
A 50-50 shot. And he was even telling us, when he was telling us this story, he was even telling us about the fact that apparently he's also realized he has a tone when he calls his wife. And he doesn't know what this tone is, but he has a tone when he calls his wife and checks in, and she goes, "Are you buying a car?"
He says, "Hi, honey. Are you at the dealership? What? How did you know?
I love that he somehow has a "I'm about to buy a car" tone, and his wife. It's so common his wife could hear it. So it's not the Macan; it's the Cayenne. And if the Cayenne is too big, I think you do. And you already brought it up as well, Paul. Go drive a Panamera. They're out there for this money. Go drive one.
Yeah,
because
if
you're talking about wanting to have driving fun but still be able to get the kids and everything in the back, the Panamera is almost in a class by itself there. It's really, really good.
You need a Panamera cross country. That'd be kind of interesting.
Well, but I've even kept them out of SUVs. I mean,
yeah.
I think and you brought it up too. I think the Panamera is compelling here. I do think you're going to have to do some nice, actually, Covercraft, genuinely, because I did this for my dog and my son. They genuinely have form-fitting seat covers.
Yeah.
Welcome to good seat covers, because you're going to want to defend those seats because it's a kid. And this is what happens.
The Cheerios.
There's
everywhere.
The stuff that randomly flies in the car, and how did you spill that, and what is this spit up? This is what happens.
And you scrape that thing with your fingernail, that stain, and it won't come off, and you think, what is this stuff? And then how did that get there?
And then the next thought behind that in your head as a parent is, you know what? I don't want to know.
Exactly.
I don't want to know what that is.
Why are there footprints on this? Never mind.
Exactly. Fine. So you're going to have one to defend, but go drive a Panamera, because I think you're going to be genuinely impressed with the dynamics. If you want to go SUV, you've got to go Cayenne, because the Macan's not big enough. So I'm going to leave Porsche there. I'm going to say, you mentioned the Jaguar F-Pace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want you to go drive this car. It's compelling. It's good looking. It's the right size for what we're talking about, I think.
Sure.
I think the interior of that is not quite as nice as it should be compared to the competition.
I'm with you on that.
I like it a lot, but I think the interior is just a stutter step behind some of its competition, and I'm wondering, for your money, if you might be happy elsewhere. Now, on the flip side, it's an interior that may be a little more kid-friendly. I'm weighing the scales here. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm thinking
about it. Wipe down with a cloth versus take your fingernail and dig the dried milk out of nooks and crannies.
So these are the things. I like your Volvo V60. I think the backseat of that is better than you expect. Do drive the XC60. We drove it at the Motor Press Guild track day.
Yeah.
It was genuinely really good.
Yeah, it's great.
It's not a dynamic powerhouse, but it holds its own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's such a nice place to be that you're not going to hoon this car. You're not. Okay?
No.
So don't have to worry about that. And it's solid. And then a car I think you would surprise yourself. Drive the X1.
Okay. All right.
Properly spec'd, the X1 is a car in BMW's lineup that has a surprising enthusiast feel.
Think it's big enough versus the X3?
I think it's borderline. I think you're going to have to look at it and see, because I feel like, and I could be wrong because I will admit I have not jumped directly CX-5 and X1, but I feel like the X1 is a stutter step bigger than the X5,
yeah.
And the X3 is maybe a stutter step bigger than the Cayenne almost. I feel like it's bigger than it appears. I think the 3 has grown. Kind of like the 5 and the 7 series cars have kind of blended in size.
Yeah,
I feel like the 3 and the 5 Xs, the X3 and X5 have kind of blended in size. And the 1 is down here.
They've blended in size, but there's a 4 in between.
Yeah, exactly. Doing the coupe shape for inexplicable reasons. Welcome to BMW. But I think the X1 is one of those. I mean, we have Brad and his wife have got one. It's a cool truck.
Right.
And they love driving it. And everybody I know, many of you on the podcast have written in as this being a sleeper enthusiast car. So drive a BMW X1. I think you might be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to go sporty setup with it, but I think you'll be impressed with that car. So that's the last one on my list that I think you should look at. Hopefully there's an SUV that you like in your future. I applaud you. You say in here you do not want a minivan. Of course you don't. So I applaud you here for shopping for something that you will enjoy driving and can do the family stuff. There is bigger stuff out there that drives well. Hopefully something in here helps you out.
There's something about the X1 or the X3. I'm going to have to go look this up, but something about their steering racks. They still retain a hydraulic rack, I think. Is that the case?
The one, I believe, is the one that
does
that.
It's not the 3, right?
I think it's the X1, but somebody will correct us if
that's wrong.
That's
kind of why, they're referring to it as just, wow, this thing's magic, but
it maintains some
here nor there, I guess.
Historic BMW feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of their lineup has left that.
Not old, historic, not meaning old.
No.
It's
what we as enthusiasts think a BMW should drive like. Yeah. I mean, here's the other side of the equation. BMW wants to make money, and a lot of their cars now are the German Camry.
Well, yeah.
And that's that they're, seriously.
Wow, that is harsh.
Well, but
the German Camry.
But look at it this way, though. What is the Camry supposed to do? It's supposed to be a nice place to be with a lot of tech that you're impressed with what you got for your money, and it drives fine.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the BMW lineup now.
Yeah, I think BMWs want to drive better than fine.
They want to, but ultimately what they want to do is sell cars to everybody. And so if you don't do M Sport Pack and you've got people that are cross-shopping and go, I can get a BMW instead. Now it's a badge that drives like a Camry. There are definitely those cars in their lineup
so
now.
So if the BMW is the Toyota of Germany and Mercedes AMG is the Chevy of Germany, where does that leave Audi at this point?
We are just annoying the Germans tonight, aren't we? Yeah.
Wow, no kidding. Okay, well, guys, yeah, this is going to be really interesting. Matt, thank you so much for writing to us. I hope you and your wife get to go drive some stuff and get rid of one of the Mazdas. We do wish one of the Mazdas to go for you because two in a row, well, I'm sure it's great, but you know.
They're cool. It's just our two
One's
of the
enough.
Same car rule. Yeah.
And this is not just, again, two of the same badge. It's the exact same car.
Yes.
Anyway, we're laughing along with you, so thank you very much. If you have your own debate, write to us at everydaydrivertv@gmail.com, or you can find us on the website there, everydaydriver.com. Send us an email. Love to hear what's on your mind, but send us a little bit of your story and what you're looking for, where you live, and you know if weather's a thing in your life.
Budget's helpful, too.
Budget is very helpful because, we like hearing about that. And then, like I said, anything about the story, what's in your garage, what are you thinking about, what are you shopping for, because we all know we're currently looking. We're always looking, right? All right, well, we will take a quick break and come right back. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does that actually mean? You know, the same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody.
All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees, accessories, everything, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home.
And how do you know if your True Price is a great price? Well, because TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers already know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business.
So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features aren't available in all states. In our ongoing quest for a certified Paul-owned car, we have our friends at Brush Hero, who you may have even seen it on Shark Tank. Brush Hero is this water-powered cleaning machine, comes with two brushes, the soft brush and the hard brush. I will admit I haven't even tried all of the ways this works. They talk about you can use it on barbecue grills. By the way, I will say don't use it on a barbecue grill and then use it on your car. Maybe get a different brush head. There is this new two brush heads included starter kit right now that is available, a soft one for sensitive surfaces, and you can even have the tough one, which I will probably use on wheels. This is what this is really designed for, so I don't have to get out a wheel towel. You have a wheel towel. I don't have a wheel towel. This is what Brush Hero is for. It's an impressive amount of torque. It's entirely water-driven. There's no engine. There's no motor or electronics or anything. The torque of the water coming through your hose spins the head and provides water to the head. This is Brush Hero. It's trying to make your life easier while cleaning your car.
You've got to fight the war on muck with the Brush Hero as the ultimate cleaning and detailing tool. It's a great gift for Father's Day, and there's gift sets for every budget. They've even got extensive line of accessories. And now Everyday Driver listeners are getting a special offer. You can go to brushhero.com and use the promo code DRIVER to get 10% off any order over $50 plus free shipping. You can also find Brush Hero on Amazon or at select Costco stores, but to get the exclusive offer, go to brushhero.com, use the promo code DRIVER, get 10% off and free shipping on your order over $50.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Jorge is in a suburb of New York City out in Westchester, New York, and he is trying to keep the family happy here. He's trying to keep himself happy.
This is the balancing act for sure.
You know how we were just talking about X3s? Mm-hmm. He ended up with an X3 because he had two kids and a mother-in-law living with him.
Yep.
So he was looking at that after he had a 2014, I think a 328 X drive, so he had an all-wheel drive. And then he was looking at the Mazda 6, so he got a 2014 Mazda 6 manual. Mm-hmm. He added the tires. He said, I've got Pilot Super Sports in the summer, Yokohama winter tires, and that's his daily.
But I like that it's a Mazda 6. It's a current gen Mazda 6 with the manual. That is not a common car. And you're Agreed. Driving around in the Manhattan area with your manual Mazda 6. My favorite Very part of cool. this email is the fact that you keep saying this car keeps surprising you.
He says, I like the stick and the clutch yeah. and the general handling. Yeah. He says it's six, up until about six tenths is what yeah. he says.
And then his comment is Mazda 6. Now, because it was when he had that 2010 328i.
Yeah.
That was the first car I was like, oh, driving could be fun. And then they had the X3 because of family. He bought right, the Mazda right. 6 and has been pleasantly surprised by it, which we love. He has the two sets of tires. This is where we become a problem. Because he said these are all little bits of influence that have happened to him while listening to the podcast yeah, with extra it. Tires and cars he likes and this kind of thing. And then he says, and I find myself craving more, and he curses us for it.
Yeah,
so, hey, Jorge, we're glad to be your bad influence in this regard. As a result, you think you want to get rid of that Mazda 6 and find a new dad sedan that is even more fun, and you've gone a step further and gone, you know what? What about rear-wheel drive? Let's enjoy some rear-wheel drive.
Yeah, he was thinking about this rear-wheel drive. He was initially leery of it, he said, because mm-hmm. of snow mm-hmm. and a coupe because of limited seating. But now, extensive test drives, and we have noted that, Jorge. He says, it's got me thinking it's time to reconsider everything. So backing up a little bit, he test drove a 2014 GTI when he bought the Mazda 6. He liked it a lot, but he said it seemed muted and heavy for an enthusiast car. That's interesting to hear your perception on it, because I think the steering and shifter, everything's pretty light, especially the clutch on that car. Everything's pretty delicate and light.
I
would think the Mazda would drive a little bit heavier unless it's the steering assist that you're feeling.
Well, but I would say this, though. If you come into a GTI, and you know we both like them, but if you come into a GTI thinking of it as the Halo hatch, I think you expect it subconsciously, even if you haven't driven one, you expect it to drive like the Fiesta ST.
Possibly.
Which feels really light and chuckable.
It
the
is.
GTI, comparatively to that perception, is a little numb and insulated. It's still fun, but it isn't a crazy light, hair on fire hot hatch. And I think because of its reputation, it's very easy. Look, I'm guilty of coming into the GTI and wishing it drove like the Fiesta ST. It does not. It is much more
no.
the friendly commuter than it is the crazy hair on fire hot hatch.
I wouldn't say it's sluggish by any means. Like,
no,
wow, this
no,
feels
it's not
like
sluggish
it's,
in,
you know, heavy syrup.
It's not sluggish
in
power, but it is a step removed as far as inputs are concerned. I absolutely back his play there.
I'm skeptical. I have
okay.
skepticism.
Okay.
I'm not sure the GTI can be labeled as heavy. But I like what you're thinking about driving these enthusiast cars.
For
Jorge,
sure, for sure.
Because he's looking at this A4, he drove that, and then he decided on the 328i.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went back to Audi and drove a 2015 A6 when his wife was done with her X3 lease.
Yeah.
So he said, surprisingly, small back seat for the exterior dimensions in that X3. Interesting.
No, in the A6.
Oh, in the A6, yeah. Correct. And then lack of steering feel, of course, and heavy feel at safe speeds felt boring. Well, yes, that's an A6. Some people like that to the, you know, the solidity feel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They like
yeah.
that, but I can see that. So he gives us a list of cars here that didn't speak to him, which is interesting. There's a lot of cars on here.
But I'm glad that you drove all these too, though.
Well, yeah, he went shopping. So he even had the 2018 WRX on this list of, wow, not speaking to you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
2018 GTI.
Mm-hmm.
The new A4, as is the BMW 330 xDrive.
There's the all-wheel drive again, yeah.
The 2018 Civic Si on this list. And keep in mind, these are all cars that did not light his fire.
Yeah.
Chevy SS is on this list, too.
In automatic, yep.
Even though it's an automatic. And the 2018 Jaguar SE. So all brand new cars.
Mm-hmm.
But he did like the Focus ST, the 2018 Focus ST. Interesting. Yeah, the interior is not amazing. It's good.
But this is what makes me start to think that it's that raw feel that he's hoping for. Because if you look at that list, and the least refined of that list is the Focus ST. And it's the car that he felt like he connected with the most.
Mm-hmm.
That I found very interesting, which is what leads me back to my GTI comments. But I love that you've driven all this stuff. What's interesting, a step behind that, though, is the car that is exciting you right now is quite interesting.
Yeah, this was unexpected to read this, to be honest.
Especially with the email prior, yeah.
Like you said, the unrefined stuff from the list is probably the Civic Si and the WRX, just behind the Focus ST.
Yeah, okay, fair.
But
fair.
He arrives at a 2018 Cadillac ATS 2.0.
With the manual, yep.
Wow, very unexpected.
Yeah, but as we've talked about before, that is a car with a surprising rear-wheel drive feel. And I will also say
yes.
that the ATS, as much as I like the Chevy SS, the ATS does feel smaller.
It's smaller and it's got the lighter front end with that 2 liter engine in the front. So I'm wondering if you're feeling a little bit of
that front end
giving you some more steering feel there.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. And you know the ATS, I don't love that 2 liter, but I think the weight is a factor here. I do agree with that.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So he's looking at the manual, the upgraded brakes, cat-back exhaust. He's saying, yeah, the depreciation hit will be pretty hard. But he's looking also to test drive manuals of the 996, 335IS, and the M235i. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, I want to stay at least 2+2 because he often has his two girls with him. They are 4 and 9 years old. So, okay.
Which is possible for
whatever
two
you get,
two.
They're going to have a ball with you driving Jorge. That's
Let's hope
going
so.
To be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So they're keeping the X3 for now, and they just want to have two vehicles only.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it sounds like that Mazda is going away, which yep. is fine. The new X3 stays for his wife. And, yeah, he's got to decide on what this could be. He's open to rear-wheel drive, and he's open to the 2+2 thing. But that Cadillac is such a twist for me. That's, you know, rear-wheel drive,
yeah.
light front end, mm-hmm. you know, and four doors.
Well, and of course you're going to have to custom order that, because I'm wondering how many brand-new ATS 2-liter manuals are they even making unless somebody checks those boxes. I can't believe – I bet you there's no dealer in the country that would source that car on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to order that car.
You mean have it sitting on their lot?
Yeah, nobody's going to just have one like
buyer's
that.
Buyer's going to walk
no,
in.
Nobody's
going to
have one like that. But the fact that you can order it is yeah. very interesting. And I love the shift here to that Cadillac. And we've talked about it before. I mean, that is a great chassis. You get the magnetic ride on it. It's really awesome. So I can't steer you away from that car. But I wanted to come up with some options too.
Problem is, can you get that magnetic ride on the 2.0?
With the main, I don't know.
I want to say it's only available when you go up to the 3.6, but then you're in a heavier car and whole yeah. different dynamic at that point.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about that. All right. Well, you're going to think I'm crazy, Jorge.
Okay.
You really are. But I've got a choice that's way out there that I want you to drive, and then the car that's not quite available yet as of this recording. And I'm doing it kind of on spec. But doing with some hope and okay. some thought here.
Okay.
I like your Cadillac idea. And if that is the car you want, we applaud that. Say, go
yeah.
get it.
Yeah.
It's a great car.
For sure. It's very cool.
But my weird choice for you is a Civic Type R. The brand new Honda Civic Type R.
Interesting.
This is
Interesting.
Weird. Stay with me. You've driven the SI and didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I submit to you the Civic Type R is a different automobile.
It's worth the test drive for sure.
I think so too.
For sure.
Don't you think?
Yes, and the thing is, because it's front-wheel drive, the thing that makes... Look, I know this is crazy to say. We had Ross wrote in a piece for our website about this because he has a current WRX. The thing about the WRX is it's so capable that it can sometimes not be exciting enough. Because
that's
that all-wheel drive,
it.
You know,
yeah.
it's just it just does it. It just got it done. Oh, look, it snowed. It's still fine. It's just... The thing about the Civic Type R is it has that just little bit of danger feel about it. It isn't danger, but it has this little bit of just sense of danger about
There's
it.
There's an edge to it.
And I agree with you there. I think you might really like that car. That it definitely has more personality than the SI.
We forgot to mention a budget here. I think he was saying 35-ish for a used and 45 with a trade-in of the Mazda for a new mm-hmm. car. So keep that in mind. So
which means you've got to get a Type R for actual list price, but you should get a Type R for list price. All the guys that are listing them for $55,000 right now that they're claiming is MSRP.
Yeah.
By the way, that's just lying, just so you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a flat out. I found them for $35,000 in some of my other searches, and so
yeah.
you can get,
they're out there.
Get them out there.
You got to look.
But Type R, and don't think that just because you've driven the new 2018 Civic SI that you've – kind of covered that base because you haven't. Because
a good call.
What this car
can
do. It's
a good call.
Now, you're going to think I'm crazy again because if your wife sees this thing, she's going to wonder what happened and what podcast have you been listening to. And then
nope,
we
nope.
might get an angry letter.
No more of those guys. That's really how that's going to go. Yeah. Huh?
I'm cutting you off. But the car that I think you should really investigate, and unfortunately, there's not a lot of information about this car yet.
Okay.
But interestingly, based on everything you describe, I think it's in the sweet spot here. It is the 2018 Genesis G70.
I wondered if you'd go there.
It's like the 3 Series, and the base engine with this turbo 4-cylinder, 252 horsepower mm-hmm. base engine, they offer a manual transmission. and they start at 32,000. So that
I
means
love this.
You've got room to run as far as options. Mm-hmm, and I don't know if you want rear or all-wheel drive, and it's TBD whether rear or all-wheel drive will be offered with the manual.
The specs sometimes aren't fully available. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the good thing is you're open to straight just rear-wheel drive.
Yes.
It's good.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the thing I think is interesting is, you know, we drove the Stinger. The Stinger is on our list of reviews for season 3 coming up.
Yeah,
I'm actually in the process of cutting that. And we put it up against the BMW, the 430, the Grand Coupe, all right? It's up there with the Grand Coupe for a lot of reasons. We get into it in depth. But the thing I think is interesting about that G70, I'm glad you brought it up. I hadn't thought of it, but as you started to go there, I thought, wait, did you go there? Because it's slightly smaller than the Kia Stinger.
Yes.
It'll be slightly cheaper, and it comes with the manual that the Stinger doesn't have. But it's essentially the same bones.
Yeah.
All of that is good news, Jorge. So that is really interesting. I'm glad you brought it up. It's not quite here yet, but it might be
the
boxes. That's really cool.
They're claiming summer 2018 is when it's out. That's what we're reading right now. I love the styling, of course. I'm really loving the direction of Kia both Kia and Hyundai for their styling efforts. And then just the specs that we kind of know about so far and how they're positioning it. Just get on the Genesis website. And again, they're carving this brand away from Hyundai. Mm-hmm. It is its own brand.
For
and
sure.
The interior and amenities will be different and upgraded and all that stuff. And so it might just compete against that Cadillac ATS for you. You might have to wait a little bit, but it sounds like you're in a position to be able to do so. But Genesis G70.
I like that. All right. So there's some good stuff there. I've got a few others for you. You did mention in here, as you're just going along, you said, you know, wait a minute, you're looking to test drive manuals. What about a 996? That was on your maybe I should drive that list. I like it, but I'm going to say to you, I'm going to go ahead and go there. The 996 is great, and you can get great deals, and they're good Porsches.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you can go 997, do that. If you can go the next generation, just go 997.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a little bit better. That 6-speed manual is awesome. Will that be too small for you and your kids? It might be. Now, if you watch our 50 Years of 9/11 film, the woman that was driving a 997 in that, she is a single mom, and that's what she drives. That's it. That's all she drove.
And Home Depot runs for Pete Moss, kids.
Seriously, kids to school. And at that point, she had a daughter that was a young teenager and a son that was like 10.
Yeah.
And this was the family car. So it's doable.
It's
truckster. Absolutely doable. Seriously. And she did talk about, filling up the frunk with stuff for the yard.
Tools,
it was
body
crazy.
Soil.
It was amazing how she used this thing. So it's possible. And the 997 is just slightly better than the 996. So that's why I think you should do that if you're going to go that route. But let me go kind of to more normal cars now. I love your ATS idea. I like your Mazda that you have, by the way. That's a cool car.
I mean, if you didn't have that, that'd probably be a car we'd suggest.
Well,
but you have it.
Yes. And the thing about your G70 brought up is I feel like the G70 is like what Mazda did with the Mazda 6, but going rear-wheel drive. It's the same kind of idea.
Okay, fair enough.
So I think that's really cool. The ATS, again, I back that play. You mentioned M235i, which I like, but I'm going to say to you, don't shy away from the four-cylinder.
Oh.
Go drive the 228 or now the 230. Go drive that.
Yeah.
Because the trend here seems to be that the cars with light front ends speak to you.
Sure.
So I wonder you can get maybe more amenities for your money if you go with the four-cylinder.
I like how you're backing off the bigger engine in an effort to get him the lighter front-end feel.
I think that might be the place to be.
That's
on
cool.
That 2-series.
Like that.
Then while you're there, you mentioned it in passing, and I love that you did. You need to drive the last generation body style, so it's the E92 335iS.
Right.
Because you mentioned it in passing. There's a good amount of power there. It's a good-sized car. You can get them for a deal. They're good-looking. 335iS as well. So I'm actually taking the M235 and going, maybe, and actually pushing you toward the other two instead if you go BMW. Now, your wife has a BMW in the garage. But at the same time, drive those anyway. So those are the other things.
We're doing it.
We are.
Matt had all the Mazda garage, and then
I have to say one other one that is the only one. I like the G70 a lot, Paul. That's really resonating with me. But another one I think you simply have to drive. And you're going to think, I don't want it. The minute I say it, you're going to think, I don't want that. And it's an automatic, and I really don't want it. Please go drive it. Go drive the Alfa Giulia.
Oh, yeah.
That is not only a very cool-looking dad car, the handling is going to really surprise you. Because you like that ATS, you need to do yourself a favor and drive the Alpha. I feel like they are kindred spirits in the way that they drive.
Mm.
And since you like that ATS, I'm going, how much Alfa Giulia can you get in rear-wheel drive? I bet you you'll be very impressed with that car. Good amount of space. And that's one of those sedans that drives smaller when you drive it harder.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
So go drive the Giulia. I know you think I'm nuts, but do yourself a favor and drive that car. Hopefully something there we find you the cool dad car.
I like that you like that Giulia so much, and it keeps coming up in recommendations.
Here's the thing.
It's so surprising is what it is.
Yes, and here's the thing. There are a lot of sedans out there that if you get the super crazy hot one, it's awesome. But you get the lower ones, and you're like, this is fine. And that Alpha in the lower versions still drives really well. Yes, you lost amenities. Yes, you lost power.
Sure.
But it still corners every bit as well, and the chassis still feels really good to drive. And that's the reason I like it, because it drives well across the board.
You know what Jorge's debate here is proving to me is that despite the direction of, say, Ford going all CUVs and SUVs and just the general trend of the market, what he's describing is not a CUV, is not an SUV. This, you know, with his Cadillac suggestion, that thinking and that lighter feel that, but still kind of a four-door sedan or just a coupe, that proves to me there's still going to be that market for a long time, and that model available for many manufacturers will sell.
And the number of people that are asking us last week or last podcast asking us about the Ford situation are still asking us about that. And it's still coming up, and we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
Clearly, all the people that want cars are listening to this podcast. Ford isn't, but everybody else apparently is. Yeah.
Okay, jump into social media questions, guys. Thank you so much for writing such amazing questions. There's a couple from the last podcast that came through late after we recorded wanted to get
Excellent.
To.
Please.
One's from our friend Derek M. He went with us on our first pilgrimage trip, as a matter of fact.
First pilgrimage trip, yeah, it was great.
And he is so funny. Derek, you're hilarious. He said, is there a treatment for this disease? He's owned 6 cars since his kids were born and just bought lucky number 7 tonight.
I think his kids are younger than my son, by the way, who's 8.
He said his kids just turned 3.
Oh, I knew they were young. That's awesome.
He said, does shock therapy work? No, Derek. Derek,
you have a tolerant wife. That's the reality of that. Yeah.
Just keep coming with us on the pilgrimage trip. Just keep, putting that salve on the wound and... feeding that, and you'll be okay.
I think Derek's dear wife is one of those wives that doesn't really like us much. From afar, she's like, those guys again?
I've owned 6 cars since my kids were born. My kids are 3.
I forgot that they were that young. That's very funny. Yeah, exactly.
Hilarious. And then Joseph S. is asking about blinding light bars on every single pickup truck owner that is in Tennessee. He says, this is getting out of control where I live in Tennessee. We're seeing that a little bit, but not as much, not as prolific, I think, as you're seeing in Tennessee. And it's interesting to me, the regional kinds of things that people pick up on and kind of do to their cars. I don't know that there's necessarily a trend other than, Range Rovers, Cayennes, and Jeeps here in Park City, but, you know what I mean.
But here's the thing. Those light bars are the current go-to accessory if you either A, really off-road, or B, want people to think you do.
Yeah.
And to the point that I have heard builders and heard guys that are really into that world talk about some people will mount them and they haven't even got them hooked up because they just like the look of them driving around in the commute and I've got my big light bar and it's not even hooked up to anything yet.
Now that is a travesty.
So here's the thing. I can understand if you're doing hunting or nighttime rock crawling, they're useful. Otherwise, they're just an accessory that is just look at me, and there's not any purpose for it other than to blind those around you.
Yeah.
It is the light equivalent of coal rolling.
I think you're right. I mean, if you have it on your Jeep and I'm going to be out towards dusk and night.
Of course.
We're out there camping, by all means. But then if it's just an accessory just to say, look at me,
it's become
yuck.
Becoming one of those things that started as a usable reality and now is just a fashion sense.
And they're blinding. You don't use them on the road or in the city.
No.
Ever.
No.
So you have to be out there and having that active lifestyle to go use your light bar.
Yeah.
If you buy one, they're not that expensive, but, come on. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting question.
I'm going to put them on the Lotus, make a rally Lotus.
I think you should put them on the back, as a matter of fact. Just under the wing.
Beware of me.
Surprise!
Yes, make them red.
Little stinger light back there.
Eye-searing. Speaking of our cars, Edmund wrote in a great question on Facebook. Did you see this one? If we could make one modification to our current sports cars,
yeah,
your Cayman, my Lotus, one modification, money no object, what would it be?
I would say a Cobb tune for the Cayman because...
Really? Well, that's pretty accessible.
It is, and you know, money no object because I love the exhaust that's on there. I like the wheels. The brakes are strong. Transmission is the PDK, and I don't want to do forced induction on that naturally aspirated car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why would I do that? And I'm thinking, all right, let's extract more out of that flat six. And the goodness that I love about it, that just it winds all the way and just that shove in the back, solid shove all the way to redline. I'd go a Cobb tune. I mean, and yes, they're not that bad. It's kind of making me think, why don't I just go do that?
Yeah, that sounds like that's going to happen. I'm going to give you two answers here. I know you said one, but I'm going to give you two answers, and here's why. The first one is my actual realistic modification that I'm, and it's not even really a mod, but I'll give you my first one. And then the second one is when you went money, no object, I went, wait a minute, here's what I would do, because it's a crazy thing to do otherwise. But the realistic one is this, sending it to somebody to go through the car front to back and tighten and reset everything to factory spec.
Just because of mileage and age and all that stuff.
It's 60,000 miles. Yeah. It's a 2006.
Yeah.
Look, I don't have any issues with it other than the fact, well, I may have to replace the radiator, but just welcome to time and a Lotus. But the point is, there's just stuff, since it's a car that doesn't have sound deadening really and that kind of stuff, stuff rattles, stuff gets loose. I get it. That's the nature of the car. It's fine. But what if somebody went through it and just reset it all? Wouldn't that be cool? So that's the kind of more realistic one. But the less realistic, money no object one is this. Still my car.
Okay.
Not changing power, none of that. But they stopped selling them in the U.S. in 2011. But they've kept selling them everywhere else.
Okay.
I want the new, current Lotus Elise interior in my car.
Oh, that's great.
Because the current Elise interior is almost the middle ground between what my Elise interior looks like and the current Evora. It's almost the middle ground of those two.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's still going to be a light car. It's still going to be a raw car. There's exposed metal. None of that really goes away, but everything just got a little bit nicer and a little bit more modern. Nobody would ever do this retrofit, but I want the current brand new Elise interior in my 06.
So that instrument panel, that instrument binnacle, the gauges,
and
all that kind of
and
stuff.
And it's subtle changes. They've changed some materials. They've tweaked the instrument panel. You know, everything's been tweaked and a little bit upgraded, but it hasn't become a luxury car by any means. And it's not as nice as the Evora, which the Evora competes with the Cayman all day long. It's not that nice, but it is an upgrade from where I am. I don't really want to think about what it would cost to do that retrofit, but if we're talking money, no object, I'd do that.
Yeah, I like that. All right, well, there's at least three of you, between Facebook and Instagram asking me about the Expedition. Jose P. is asking about the lift kit and the big tires, and then P's of Life Bugs
the light
asking
bar
for
too,
the upgrade.
But,
yeah, that's, you know, thinking about this light bar. Maybe
got to do a light bar now.
Light bars everywhere.
Exactly.
You know, the retractable running boards, and you fold that
I
out.
Like
surprise,
that.
Light board.
Light bars. Light bar. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. We got to have those. It's going to be the under lighting, but it only comes down when the running boards come down. This is genius. Yeah.
Sears your eyeballs, gives you LASIK surgery on the fly while you're driving. And then also our friend Mike at Cam Automag, thank you for asking. And by the way, Mike is in for ditching the roof rack.
I saw that.
What do you think? I'm still liking the, just cleaner look.
Like I said, you could put Olympic jumping skis in your car. So you don't have a problem with, I need something on the roof. Plus the fact that the car is so big, do you want to climb up and put anything on the roof anyway?
Well, that kind of taught me a lesson after the ski season this year was... Yeah. You're climbing. I can't reach the middle of the roof. Mm-hmm. I'm like clambering up and putting my foot on the door
and you
latch.
Have, you have
and
the
then
huge,
climbing
you
up.
Have the huge side rails, and you can stand there at the base of the seat, and you are not a small person, and you still can't reach the middle of the roof.
6'3".
Yes,
I've got
exactly.
Long arms.
Exactly right.
Anyway, so the updates are: I won't announce this yet, but earlier this week, wheels and tires have been ordered.
Yeah, that's gonna be cool.
And once they're on, and once I've got them, you know, I'll Instagram the photo and show everybody. But one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking eventually do brakes and eventually the Bilsteins, but I'm not going big lifted truck, you know, big wheels and tires because it's not going to be a huge Moab off-road kind of thing. It's going to be a road vehicle is what
Moab,
it is.
Moab, your Expedition.
Can you imagine?
No,
the
I
stuff
can't.
That we went straight up, can you imagine
no,
that?
No, I can't.
No.
Yeah.
But this will be more the road trip tow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the reason I want stock wheels and tires or the stock size, mm-hmm. I will tease. I'm going down to 18s
yeah, you
for,
mentioned
the,
that. Yeah.
For the summer wheels and tires.
Yeah.
to a 10 ply tire. And then I want to keep it stock because that, you know, the spare underneath the back.
Sure, sure,
if
sure.
If something goes wrong, you know, I want that spare to match everything. Mm-hmm. And I just want to kind of keep the same size. I want to kind of make it nicer eventually over time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But keep the stock look about it.
Well, I'm going to come back to right after you got that car. And it's a 2012, right?
2012. It's only 6 years old.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It is mostly ageless with the possible exception of the tech. But you bought it, mm-hmm. and you replaced your stereo,
yeah.
and you took the time, because it's you took the time to properly wire things so that you kept all your steering wheel controls.
Yeah.
But you have a modern Bluetooth navigation wireless stereo that is fantastic. And suddenly, it's like that one change, and it honestly feels like the car's a year old.
It's interesting how
that
happened.
It really is fascinating how much tech changes that in cars, especially when you have a car like this that isn't going through revolutionary changes to begin with. So you make it kind of modern for tech, and you go, look what happened.
A friend at the tire shop was teasing me. He said, put your money in the race car. I've seen million-dollar race cars being towed by the jalopy beat-up truck. And I said, you're right. I applaud them. But, you know, I'm into looks a little
bit. You still want it to be nice.
If I'm going
to
buy wheels, come on.
Well, you're going to buy wheels either way. Yeah, and it's going to be certified Paul-owned. That's what's up with it. Yeah,
I'm still finding pine needles from when it sat outside at my dad's place.
Of course you are.
Anyway, crazy.
But nobody would know by walking up to it that it's had the life it's had. It looks really good.
It'll get there. All right, what else?
Daniel Marks, congratulations. You said you're flying to L.A. Actually, while you're listening to this podcast, you're flying to L.A. You're going to get your FRS. Cool. You're incredibly excited.
I'm
incredibly excited for you. I also want to do a shout-out to a kid named Micah, who Chance just sold his BRZ to Micah.
Right.
And he got so excited, he posted a comment on our BRZ versus New 86 video.
Fantastic.
Because he'd seen it many times and didn't realize that that was the car he just bought until Chance told him. And this was a first-time driver. As I understand the story, you were there with Chance.
Yeah.
He and his mom came and met with Chance, and Micah didn't even have his license yet.
Yeah.
Mom drove the car away because it's going to be Micah's car.
Exactly.
And he's so excited about having the car out of that video, which is really cool. So congrats to you as well.
It's got provenance because it's in the video.
I guess, yeah.
I think that helps. No, he was very excited. All right, what else? Oh, I got some questions about watches in here, which I have to get there. I'm looking at a question from Alvaro. He is asking about, what do I think of Tissot watches? I like them in general. I think some of the new designs are a little busy, but I like what they've done from a analog and digital combination in both, you know, in the watch. So both tech in the same watch. So I do like that. But I will say six brands that I like better are the Minus 8 brand. You're going to have to look these up, Alvaro. Helgray. Kobold with a K, KOBOLD, Shine, SINN, Alpina, and Tudor. I will put that on your Facebook page as well, so you know what these brands are.
I have heard of none of those.
I like these better. They're all very different flavors, but you'll understand when you see them.
Paul has been unceremoniously following many watch-related things on our Instagram, and now when I go on Instagram, I have to scroll to find anything that relates to me at all. Watch face. There's a car.
Getting there.
Frightening.
Yeah, I kind of went nuts a little bit, but hey.
I'm going to go start marking, I don't know, random fighter jets and...
Fighter jets and, do all kinds of cool stuff.
Ridiculous. Anyway, let's see. Scott Durrell asks a tough question.
Our friend Scott.
He says, would we rather drive the Lemons race, every year, kind of indefinitely, every year until we physically cannot drive anymore, or get to never get to do more than one, but get to do the Le Mans race once?
Oh, that's hard. That's hard.
I think the real Le Mans race is what you're talking about. Have a chance to do the actual Le Mans race one time and never do endurance racing again. Now, he doesn't say we can't ever get on track again. He's just saying no more endurance racing for you. You did Le Mans, and you're done. Or do Lemons indefinitely. Scott, I'm going to give an addendum to this that allows me to answer it. Because if you had said... There are other levels of racing. I think AEM, American Endurance Series, or whatever. That's not AEM, but that is one of them. The level above Lemons, where the cars quit being $500 beat down cars, but it's still amateur endurance racing.
Are you talking like Chump Car, Lucky Dog, all those kinds of things?
See, Chump Car is still kind of lemons. It's still the beat down stuff. So it is like Lucky Dog, and I think this maybe it's AES. I think it's American Endurance Series or something like that.
Okay.
I know Matt Farah is driving in it with Sam Smith and those guys, and they're in an NC Miata. So when you get to cars that aren't beat down, but they're also not expensive and it's still amateur level. If we were talking that level, I would do that indefinitely and not do Le Mans. I really like lemons.
But he's called out lemons.
Exactly. Here. I really like lemons. But the problem is that there is a limit on the cars and that kind of stuff. And at that point, I think I may lean the one time on Le Mans and then have a lot of nice track days.
That's tough.
It's really hard.
It's hard to say no to the opportunity to drive in the real race.
Yes.
It's hard to turn.
Drive slowly, be terrified, get passed a lot, but it'd be fun.
Fine, but man, was that a box checked. Honestly, I'm kind of with you. Yeah, as long as we get to do other track days, other high performance driving
events. He doesn't
take out
track days. He just says no more endurance racing.
Dang it. It's hard to turn down the real thing.
But the flip side of that would be you could say, you know what, I don't do endurance racing anymore. I did Le Mans. You could do that. You could have a good excuse for the reason why you're now done.
By the way, have you seen the light bar in my truck?
Yeah, exactly. It's not even plugged in, but it looks cool bolted to the side. Yeah.
There's a question on here on Instagram from Scatinatin. Scatinatin. He said his wife and he are planning a trip to London next year with their 8-year-old son.
Oh, yeah, I saw this, yeah.
Do we know of any car-related things he could possibly do while he's there? They're going to be visiting some of her family in the Surrey area, hitting all the typical tourist traps in London. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I've got a few ideas to run past you. I'm going to miss... There's so many car events going on all year long in England. And, you know, just outside of London. But to start with, there's rich people shrieking around Chelsea in their exotic cars. You know, all the rich folks from the Middle East who have tried to escape the desert heat and they come to London to show off.
The Chelsea tractors, as they call them? Or the
Chelsea tractors or just the, you know, the gold-plated Veyrons that drive by.
Essentially the roads all around Harrods. That's where all the car
stand
spotters
in front of Harrods,
exist. Yeah, exactly.
You will have a car show and people shrieking by and a whatever.
Yeah.
So there's that, if you want to start there. I did think of DK Engineering, which is to the northwest, and they are one of the world's premier Ferrari service and builder, and they sell cars there. I mean, it's a car show in and of itself. DK Engineering, Donington Historic Festival, of course, the Goodwood Festival of Speed,
depends
and
on
the
when
Goodwood
they go,
Revival.
Yeah.
The Revival is in September, so go to goodwood.com. Ripley Castle has some stuff going on. There's a car fest north and south that I saw, and then the Hampton Palace Conquerors in the late summer. So depending on when you go, there's always stuff going on. And like I said, I missed a ton of stuff. Everybody's going to say, you missed the thing.
Yes.
And I know I did, but just it got you thinking, I don't know what time of year you're going to be there, but everybody in the UK is just mad crazy about cars. There's always cool stuff going on.
I think
just standing in the middle of London, you'll see a car show. You'll be fine.
I'll give you a couple of other oddballs.
Okay, good.
Keep in mind that both UK Top Gear with Chris Harris, LeBlanc, and Rory Reid and Grand Tour are doing all of their audience sessions in England now.
Yeah, right.
When are you going? How much lead time will either of those shows be filming when you're there? Could you get tickets? This is not an easy ask. I know the tickets are hard to come by. But you could theoretically go to either of those shows for filming. Now, I don't know if your kids can go. I don't know if they would tolerate it. Sometimes those filming days can be long, but it's something to look into for sure. And then I'm not going to get this right, but it's near Surrey. There's an old airfield. That's the great thing. There's tons of old airfields around that they've converted into all kinds of car fun. But there's an old airfield that's been converted into the Mercedes Experience Center. And I want to say it's near Surrey.
Good.
And you can go there and you can not only get like the Mercedes Museum, but they've got like a test track and you can do ride alongs and that kind of stuff.
That'd be awesome.
And I know that exists there. And then if you want to go a little farther afield, you know what you could do? Rent a front, some sort of front hatchback, maybe one we don't get, maybe a French one, I don't know, and go out to Wales and just drive some roads.
Oh, now, just doing that would be cool.
That's not a, this is on the way. You are fully out of the way.
Drop the family in Surrey.
Who knows?
Bye-bye.
I'm just saying, maybe.
Did you hear the Top Gear test track is being turned into housing. It's going to be a suburb now.
I've been talking about that forever, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of interesting. But
it'll be like Donington Estates or something ridiculous.
Something like that, yeah. Yes. And people who know will say, hey, this my driveway used to be the, you know, Chicago, whatever.
Exactly.
It's got provenance. People won't
no,
care.
It doesn't. It'll be my driveway with weird red and white painted on it. What's going on there? Why is there a tire wall there? What's happening?
Exactly.
Did you see Brian D's question?
All right.
Which automaker do you feel currently has the worst design language across the board, and which has the best?
Ooh.
Now, you may have different ideas than me, and you'll be able to be much more specific, but here were my first two answers.
Okay.
I think that Mazda is doing the best right now. Because I think if you peel the logos off of every single Mazda product from, think about the range of Mazda design as well. I mean, like the shapes that they're dealing with. From the Miata to the CX-9.
This is the range of platforms and sizes of cars. Yeah.
And yet you can tell all of those cars are related.
Yeah.
And all of them, for what they are, look classy.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. Think about Mazda 6, CX-3, CX-5, CX-9, Miata. All of these look good.
Yeah.
They all look classy. So I think Mazda is killing it. Conversely, though, I think the last year or so, there's been a slight uptick, but that's not really anything but a quasi-insult still.
It's a literal
What's going move. On at Nissan?
Thank you very much.
Because take the Nissan product line and park the GTR next to the Juke, next to the Maxima.
Yeah.
What's happening? What's going on? And why, first off, they don't look related to each other, really. They're trying to do that big chrome V and claim that this is their thing, but that hasn't helped anybody. That made the GTR look worse.
Agreed.
So and then you've got the Z car, which is floundering over here and now looks like nothing else in the lineup. Nothing else in the lineup looks like the Z car.
Yeah.
So it doesn't match and they've lost their way.
I am in complete agreement. I would add a few things from Kia as a great styling standpoint, the Stinger being one, and then the direction Hyundai is going, and of course Genesis, the carve-out brand, where they're going is quite excellent, actually, here is the styling that matches the market segment and matches what the car's price is. I really like what they're doing, so you've got that good feeling. This is going to sound strange, but I love the design language from Range Rover. I love what they're doing as far as the design. Now, they're not for everybody, but that uniform, they stand out, and you know what it is. You do not mistake that car for anything else.
Well, they look related, but yet you can define the models, too.
And the sizes from, the Autobiography, huge, you know, rangy, all the way to the Velar, everything they're doing, so much so that I think Lincoln has a car crush, man crush, whatever you want to call it, on Range Rover.
Lincoln's trying to be Range Rover. Interesting.
They are.
Interesting
with the Aviator
point.
And all these little details, and you think, where have I seen that before? I know. Range Rover.
Interesting. Yeah, okay.
Because they're so buttoned down. They're so precise.
The Lincoln mood boards for designers are just pictures of Range Rovers.
Exactly. They've got a crush on Range Rovers. I know
That's
they do.
That's funny. I like that.
They're trying to define something else, and not sure it's working quite yet, but I think they'll get there. Hopefully they'll get there.
Ben G on Twitter said, brand new Focus STs for $18,000. Should I be on the way to the dealer? If you're talking about a brand new Focus ST you can get for $18,000, I think that is a compelling story.
Agreed.
Really compelling story. And it's, of course, because the platform's ending and Ford's going to all but give them away. But it's going to have a warranty. And you got it for $18,000. I mean, $18,000 right now, honestly, those are the nice used Fiesta STs. So getting a brand new Focus ST for $18,000, that is very tempting, I have to say.
This question from Peter R. on Facebook asking about the recent trend of indicators moving with the direction of the car turning instead of flashing, instead of blinking. Yeah. Said, I'm looking at you, Audi.
It's the Ford Mustang effect.
Well, yeah. In the marketing brief, the marketing folks were pretty proud of themselves writing all about the turn signal, the sequential turn signal brought back in the Mustang. It was gushing a little bit too long, and I agree on that. I'm going to say, especially Audi, I like it, and I'm interested in it, and here's why. Peter, you noticed it.
Hmm.
It caught your eye. It's not just a flashing whatever and sure. just like everything else.
Sure.
It does something and it caught your eye and it made you pay attention mm-hmm. more so than you were before. It's like Southwest Airlines here in the United States when they're okay. doing their, you know, hey, we're doing our safety briefing uh-huh. and then you catch something and you think, did they just say that?
Yeah, they go off script and something weird.
You know, they
yeah.
say something like, you know, thank you for flying with us. Please sit back and relax or sit forward and be tense. We don't really care.
Yeah.
We're going to come by, throw some peanuts at you, and before you know it, we'll be at Chicago Midway Airport. And,
yeah.
and you think, wait, what?
There
but
was,
the point is you paid attention to
yes,
the safety briefing
to something
you heard
you're
something
never
weird and
to.
Funny.
Well, and that's the other thing. I think you were on the flight with me. There was a flight I was on where one of the female flight attendants did the voiceover, if you will. Okay, she did the call out.
Right.
But there was this kind of tubby guy that did the demonstration. And he yeah. turned it into, I mean, like using the walls and stuff, turned it into this seductive thing.
And everybody was paying attention.
And everybody watched every moment. Now, when's the last time you were on a plane that anybody watched the safety briefing?
Right, right.
And he did the entire thing, so ridiculous, and everybody watched. So, yeah, it is interesting. I've actually noticed, and I think it's I still find it weird, though I understand the logic. These cars that, and Audi's a great example, the daytime running light on that side goes out while the blinker's on.
Uh-huh.
And then when the blinker stops, the yeah. daytime running light comes back. I understand
same thing
why.
On the Jeep. That
yeah,
happens.
It is on your Jeep, too. I understand why. I just find it really interesting that that is the extra layer of it.
I think, okay, maybe the lights are the same brightness and they're trying to compete, but
yeah, for sure.
You notice
it makes it.
It
more noticeable. Absolutely true. Absolutely
and
true.
So the yep. Audi, it's, wow, that's different. And then you're mm-hmm. staring at the light realizing, okay, I'm noticing and I'm paying more attention. I've, mm. you know, put my phone down, that kind of thing. So, yeah, guys, thank you so much for all the questions. We really appreciate it. And thank you to all of you who are writing in with your own debates. Like I said, please write to us and go to the website. Make sure you look up the Pilgrimage 2018 tour coming at
yeah,
you in
very
August.
Cool.
And also Amazon Prime carries both television seasons 1 and 2 now, Amazon Prime. So if you've missed those, please go
there. We welcome
your
viewing and we welcome your ratings. Thank you to so many of you that have done ratings and yeah. written up some really nice reviews. It's humbling and encouraging. So thank you very much.
Guys, really appreciate it. Looking forward to next time. Cheers.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.